Daf. I can tell because I spilled my coffee this morning on the blot. We are on Daf Yutes Amudalf. Okay. And we're up to this case, Mesa Rishona. Now, just to sum up where we are till now, we're talking about a case when a guy had two brothers who were married to two sisters or any other heir. The sister's issue is not so much an issue here. He had two brothers married to two sisters, and they both fell before him. Either they fell simultaneously, one after the other, it doesn't matter. But they're both in front of him for chalitza yibum purposes. So according to Rabbanan, he has two chalitza on both of them. According to Rabbi Shimon, he just does he does chalitza to the first one, and the second one is exempt. Now, in Rabbi Shimon's sheet, there was a machlokas which he had last night. The Rabbanan of Babel, the Babylonian rabbis held, the Rabbanan de Taman, that's true, even if he only, the second one is exempt, even before he did anything at all to the first one. In other words, the second one to fall before him, she just goes free, because she's already an erva. So the first one to fall before him was suitable. The second one is an erva to the first one, so the second one just goes free. Right? There's nothing to do about her. According to Rabbi Lezer, however, Rabbi Lezer's approach in Rabbi Shimon, he holds that the second one goes free only after he did a maisa to the first one. Now, either he did chalitza to the first one, or he did the maisa iser yibum to her. He's really not supposed to be miyabim her, because by the time he's miyabim her, he already has achuz kukasa, right? He has two skuzukas to him, both of whom if he can't take together. So he really shouldn't do anything to the first one, Bidrabanan. But if he went ahead and did it, so by doing either chalitza or yibum to the first one, so he exempts the second one. Okay? So that's the machlokas. According to Rabbanan de Taman, the second one is exempt before he does anything to the first one. According to Rabbi Lezer, he's only exempt after she does something to the first one. Now, the logic of Rabbanon is that the language which Rabbanon used, to explain their position, the Rabbanon Taman is Ein Zika Nofeles L'makom Zika. One Zika cannot fall where there's another Zika. Now, of course, it can, theoretically, when they're two Nochrios, when they're not related to each other. But when the two Yevamos are related to each other, so one Zika can't fall on another Zika. Right? So therefore, that's why she goes free, the second one, even before he did anything to the first one.
It'll eliminate a good percentage of the cases that we've had so far.
If you all like Rabbi Shimon, we don't all like Rabbi Shimon, we all like Rabbanan. The whole discussion here is going to Rabbi Shimon, but according to Rabbanan, you have to chalitza on both no matter what. But yeah, this is all according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, Mesa Drabba, after Mesa Rishoya, which is on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th line down. Or is it 8th line down? 8th line down. Mesa Rishoyna. If the first one dies, now the first of the two Yavamas in question dies, I'll die to the Rabbanan Mutter Rishniya. Even according to the rabbis. It's certainly according to Rabbi Lezer, he's Mutter in the second one. Why is that? Because the only reason according to Rabbanan you have to say the same to the second one is because Rabbanan the only reason you have to say the second one is because the first one and the second one are both around. If the first one is no longer around, so then you can just take the second one. Again, this is the Rabbanan, this whole business, so then you can just take the second one. Hoyle Rishona, going on 9th line down on the two testament base. Hoyle Rishona Tzora. Now, the case, I really should show it to you inside and make it easier to understand. If you have... in this case here, right, Shimon, Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. It's not germane exactly what their relationship is, but they're related to each other. The two sisters, just as any other relationship. And then Reuven and Shimon die, and Levi now is zakuk to both. Right? Levi has to do something to both of them. So Rabban holds he does chalitza to both. Rabbi Shimon holds he does chalitza to the first one, and the second one is exempt. And now, what happens if the Reuven had another co-wife, was not related. There was a co-wife here on the side, not related. So chalatz ha'ilu rishon atzora chalatz law. If he did chalitza to the co-wife, who's not in the picture here, chalatz law. So in that case, niftar atzorasa, right? In this case, of course, you don't do chalitza to Rachel. You do either chalitza to the co-wife or to Rachel, right? Now ha'ilu ashniya atzora. What if Leah had a tzora? He did chalitza to Rachel, and Leah had a tzora. Now Leah, he can't do anything, because that's achas kukaso, achas chalutzaso, the sister of the woman to whom he did chalitza to, so of course he can't marry Leah. But what about a co-wife of Leah? So kones tzora umekayim es ishto, he's allowed to marry the tzora, he's allowed to marry the tzora, umekayim es ishto, and he can keep his wife v'aser b'shnia, and he's forbidden in the second one. Now, this is a very interesting case. It's really a case which we had previously. So this is talking about he did chalitza to the second one. He did chalitza to the first one. In this case, if he did Yibum on Rachel, okay, he did Yibum on Rachel, and then we're going according to Reb Shimon now, because according to Rabbani, you have to do Chalitza on both. But according to Reb Shimon, who holds that you could do something on the first one, I think Reb Shimon.
I thought he couldn't do Yibum.
Korin Rabbi Shimon, he can do Yibum on the first one. Korin Rabbanan, he can do. Korin Rabbanan, you must do Chalitza on both. Korin Rabbi Shimon, he can do Yibum on the first one. And then the second one goes free. Do Yibum Chalitza on the first one, the second one goes free. I made a mistake before. So I said.
You said just.
Yeah, right, he has to do Chalitza.
Yeah, right.
That's Korin Rabbanan. No, that's Korin Rabbanan. But Korin Rabbi Shimon. So you can even do Yibum on the first one. It's not just Chalitza.
I don't think we had it yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's only going to Rabbon and the Tamon. Yeah. All right. According to Rabbi Lezer. We had, as I said before, we had a machlokas of Rabbi Lezer and Rabboni Yossi. Rabbi Lezer holds, in this case, according to Rabbi Shimon, you must do chalitza on Rachel. Mr. Zuger, look here. You must do chalitza on Rachel,
yeah.
And Leah then goes free. According to Rabboni and Tamon, you can do Yibum on Rachel, okay? And then Leah goes free, right? It's either or. So Rabbi Lezer holds you must do specifically chalitza. Rabbanan, all you can do Yibum. That's Rabbanan in Rabbi Shimon. There's another Rabbanan, not to be confused with these Rabbanan, who argue Rabbi Shimon, all you have to do Chalitza on both. Then it says there's Rabbanan in the Mishnah, those are the ones who you have to do Chalitza on both. Then there's Rabbanan the Tamon, the rabbis in Bavel, who are Amoroim, who explained to Rabbi Shimon that you can do, that you're not supposed to do Yibum, you do chalitza on Rachel, and then Leah goes free. Now, according to Rabban, Rabbi Lazar holds you have to do chalitza on Rachel, and then Leah goes free. Rabban and Taman holds you can do either chalitza or Yibum on Rachel, and then Leah goes free. Now, again, the case which we have now, we're talking about, is according to Rabbanan and the Talmud hold, you can do either chalitza or Yibum on Rachel. What happens if you had here another co-wife for Leah, and Levi did Yibum on Rachel, and And Yibumon, the co-wife of Leah. Not on Leah, but on the co-wife of Leah. So that's what it says here, that works. Okay?
Well, if Leah goes free, then certainly Leah's Zara goes free. And he could marry her.
No, the question is, why should it be mutter to marry her? It should be achos. It should be eishes achiv. It should be tzara serva. It should be tzara serva, right? Because Leah is forbidden from him. Now these are all erevos to Rabbanan, not the Raisa. But Leah is forbidden to him. So if Leah is forbidden to him, how can he marry the co-wife? The tzara should be forbidden as well, right? So how can he marry her? But that's what Gemara says. Right? He marries a tzara, keeps his wife, which is Rachel, and is forbidden in Leah, right? So it says the Gemara, Hadahi, this teaches mutar adam, allowed person allowed to marry achos tzaras, it should be a vimto. And she's allowed person allowed to marry the sister of the tzara.
Sister, right?
No, this one. Sorry, the sister, the Rachel, of the tzara of Leah, of his Yavama.
Oh, okay.
Okay? In other words, he's allowed to be married to Rachel, who's the sister of the tzara of his Yavama. Okay? That's what we're
meaning.
Okay, you see that? So that's what they're talking about. Now, ask the more of Yay, Osir, Mitzara. What about the other way? Okay, that makes sense. But how can he marry the co-wife? He should be also in the co-wife Mishum Tsaras, because she's the co-wife of Krovas, and should be Ishto of his wife. In other words, it should work the other way. It should be Osir. I understand that Rachel is Mutzin because Rachel is the sister of the co-wife of his Yavama, who's not in the picture. But the woman who's not in the picture should be Osir because she's the co-wife of the sister of his wife. Right, so it's Tzara Serva, right? So again, Yosef B'Tzara Mishum Krovas Mishum Tzara Yosef B'Tzara Mishum Tzara Krovas Chalu Ishto. So Rabbi Yehuda said Ilu Bikesh. Here we have the same story we had a blot ago, very interesting one, which is Ilu Bikesh. In this case, it's not the same. It's not comparable to a normal case of Tzara Serva, because in this case, Ilu Bikesh before he married Rachel. In other words, were Rachel to have been his wife, that before the Yibum, that would have been something else. But Rachel was not his wife before the Yibum. He started off being, a bachelor, right? So that means before he married Rachel, could he have married Leah? Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Could have married Leah, technically speaking, right? Yeah. Could have been Rabbanah, he's supposed to do Chalitza, but technically speaking, could have married Leah. And could he have married Leah's co-wife? Also, could have married Leah's co-wife, right? So therefore, since before the Zika, she wasn't for, before he decided to be Miyabim Rachel, neither Leah nor the co-wife was Osir, that's not called Tzara Serva. Because it means that she only becomes an Erva after Shimon died. While Shimon was alive, it wasn't an Erva, right? Theoretically, if Reuven had never died, certainly in that case, Levi could have married Leah or Leah's co-wife. So the only reason that Shimon's wife Leah became an erev on Levi is because both Reuven and Shimon died, and now by force of coincidence, they're sisters to each other, achios yivamos, and that causes one to be osir. But in essence, they're not inherent tzaras. I guess the way we're not looking for is they're not intrinsically tzaras, but just situationally because of the misfortune of them having both died tzaras. That's not called a tzara. There's no such thing as Mar says here, but tzara l'achar misa. Either tzara when before the husband, i.e. the brother of the yavam, dies, or not a tzara at all. Okay, so that's the principle we're stating here. So it says more again. Let's see it inside. If he wanted to have relations with the tzara, with the co-wife of Leah, before he married Rachel, would he not be mutter? But chilu mutter. So before he married Rachel, be mutter her. But so for us, and now becomes us her because he did marry Rachel. In Baimer, I can't even say that nimtzeisa oset tzara l'achar misa. So you're making a tzara, an artificial tzara after the death of the brother. Ve'in tzara la'achar misa, and there's no tzara after death. You don't want to sit there.
Why is that?
Because you got to see the book.
I'll
lean over. Say the Rabbi Shimon. So we have a contradiction of Rabbi Shimon. Talmud Hoimer. Now this is a case later on, which actually is we haven't seen yet. Talmud is later on. This case over here. You have three brothers. Reuven, told you. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, right? Reuven is married to Rachel. Shimon is married to Dina. Then Reuven dies. Shimon does Maimer and Rachel. Doesn't fully marry her. Okay, so me and those media problems, right? Shimon does Maimer to Rachel. Then, of course, needless to say, Shimon dies as well. So I don't know why Chana's in the picture. I don't know what relevance that has. But Levi is not allowed to marry neither Dina nor Rachel. He's got to do Chalitza, okay, on both of them. So there, that's the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Shimon, Tamanu Oimer Miyavin Leizu Shiritza V'Chalitza Shnia. There, Rabbi Shimon, however, says he has to do, he does Chalitza to one and Yibum to the other. So, of course, contradiction. First, I know you're all wondering about the logic of it, right? But look, forget about the logic. I'm always asking a contradiction. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon potters up the second one. He says, you don't do anything to the second one. There, Rabbi Shimon says, you have to chalitza one and yibum on the other. So the word is really more concerned with the contradiction than the internal logic over there. Okay? So it says, you have to yibum one and chalitza on the other. And here he says, not like that. He says, you just do something to the first one. And the second one goes free.
But it's not a comparable case, so there's no contradiction because he did minor.
Someone's going to answer. Very good. See, you know that you're a promissory. Amram Zeru said, I had the honor time on while I was still in Bavel. Shami's time on. I heard the logic, and it's a very good logic. Got the distinction. Taman Zika Shneyabin Ena Zika. There's an optical illusion here. You think they're two co wives, but you think that there's a co wife problem, but there really isn't. Why? Now we have to stretch back in our memory. Actually, we have it again tonight. What's Rabbi Shimon's attitude towards Maimer? Rabbi Shimon holds. I don't know if Maimer works, but if it does, it's double or nothing. Right? Either Maimer works completely, or Maimer doesn't work at all. Remember that's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Rabbi Maimer makes a mikzas kinyan. Rabbi Shimon holds it either works completely or it doesn't work at all. So then, therefore, over here, it's an optical illusion. Either Rachel is fully married to Shimon, or Rachel is still married to Reuven. It was still the Yevama of Reuven, right? Now Rachel is not related to Dina, right? No. So therefore, of course you have to do to both. If theoretically you could do Yibum to both, if Maimer doesn't work at all, you could do Yibum on both. Because that means that the Rachel is the skuka because Reuven died, and Dina is the skuka because Shimon died, right? If Maimer works, you can't do on both because then they're both Shimon's wife, but you can do on one or the other, right? But since Maimer might not work, right, in which case there's no relative, they're not co-wives at all, it's still Rachel's, so Rachel's is coming off of Reuven, the lady, so that's why I have to chalitza nibum. That's Pashut, right? After chalitza yibum, because it's zikar shnei yavmin, right? It's two separate yavamin. Zikar shnei yavmin. I'm sorry. At the time of zikar shnei yavmin, ain't a zika. There's no zika of two yavmin on Rachel, right? Either she's the yavama of Reuven or of Shimon. She's not coming from two of them, and therefore the zika nafelus lebakum zika. That's why the zika of Reuven falls together with the zika of Shimon. Right, and that's why Levi's got to do something to both of them, right? However, hacha bram hacha, but here the case is different. Here we're talking about, back in our case, we're talking about where the zika fell simultaneously from Reuven and Shimon, and more of the catch here is that these two women are related to each other. And that's why ain zika no fell simakum zika. The zika you cannot have a double zika here. It can't, because these two women are rivals to each other, either sisters to each other, or mother and daughter, whatever the case may be. So Bramach Zika's Yava Mechod, and that's the Zika of the Yava Mechod, there can only be one Zika because of the nature of the relationship between these two sisters. Vein Zika no fellas the Makom Zika, and the Zika can't form another Zika. So therefore, here you only have to do the one. The minute you did the one, the other one is off the hook. Okay? I'm a Rav Misani, Rav Misani say you don't even have to come on to that. Stop getting lumpish. Here it's two sisters, so that's only you only do on one of them and not the other one. Over here it's Dina and Rachel are not related to each other, so there we have to do on each one separately. If you want to ask the kasha, I got a better kasha for you to ask. Ask them the question for the case over here, not our case, but the case later on. Ask on the case of Rabbi Zir and the name of Rav Sheshes. Now, Rabbi Zir and the name of Rav Sheshes is a case we had some time ago that we had in the name. Let me show it to you inside. Then we'll make it easier to explain the question. Here. You had Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven was married to Dina. Reuven died. Shimon did Yibum to Dina, right? Now, Shimon died. So now there's Dina and Tamar. Now, Levi was born after Shimon was Miyabim Dina, right? So if Shimon holds, in that case, you're allowed to do Yibum on either Tamar or Dina, because when Levi came into the world, Reuven was no longer a factor, since Dina was already was already married to Shimon, right?
And so they're not related. Dina and
Tamar. Right?
Dina and Tamar are not real.
What about that in the case, although this is not the case picture here, we don't have the case. What about the case where Dina only did Mimer? Right? Dina only did Mimer, not Yibum. So therefore it's a question. So in that case, Rabbi Shimon says, forget it. Levi's got to do Chalitza to both of them. They're both also, right? So Rabbi Shimon, either Rabbi Sheshes, Tali Taman, David Rabbi Shimon, Shnei Nasuras. Rabbi Shimon says that they're both also. So Mechava, she tossed it to Rabbi Shimon. That's the case, it's a contradiction of Rabbi Shimon. Taman Omer, Shnei Mutar, Asuros. Over there, he says, they're both also, right? Tamar is also, because I forgot why Tamar is also. Why is Tamar also? She's a Tzara Sarva. Oh, right. No, she's a Tzara Sarva. Okay. So yeah. Let me just make sure I say it correctly. The question is, why should they both be Osir? Even in a Mimer case. Look, in this case, a Mimer over here, where you did Mimer on one, and the other one is your co-wife, so Rabbi Shimon said over here, you do Yibum on a Chalitz, and the other take your choice. So here too, according to Rabbi Shimon, at least Tamar should be permitted, right? Right? Maybe Dina is Osir, right? Because we don't know if Mimer's Kona or isn't Kona. But why is Tamar Osir? Right? The Chorek Tamar should be Mutter. The reason why it is Osir there, the Pnei Moshe explains very nicely. He says that the reason why it is Osir over there is because Rabbi Shimon holds that the Zika Asirs. In other words, the fact, it's true, you did, I don't even know if it would come out to another thing, but I don't even know. It's just a straightforward question. I have a whole numbers which I wrote on the side this morning, but it's not necessary. It's a partial question. It's a very good question. And the Pnei Moshe wants to give an answer, but the Gemara itself doesn't give an answer. It's actually a very good question, which it's very hard to answer. Over here, again, in this case of Mimer, so Rabbi Shimon said you could do Levi, you could do Yibum on either one. Yibum on one, or Chalitza on the other. Either one he wants.
I thought it was just Yibum on the woman that had the Mimer.
No, in the case on later on, you do Yibum on either one, right? Because if Rachel is, because no problem, Eishin Sachim Shlo Yabo Lama, right? So no matter what, Rachel is going to be okay. Either because Rachel is was Zaka because of Reuven, or Rachel Zaka because of Shimon. But it doesn't matter. If she's Zaka because of Shimon, of course you can only take one, not the other. Either or you can take. You don't take both, but either or. But here, so that's the case. Why does Rabbi Shimon say in this case you can't take either one? Again, assuming this is Maimer, not Yibum. L'chayla, you should be Dina would be a problem, Taka, because Dina might be Eish Yisachiv Shloya Balamo. But there's no reason to ask her Tamar. Why shouldn't Tamar be Muteris, right? So that's the Gemara's Kasha. Why here was he inconsistent in Aser to also Tamar, whereas in our case, inconsistent with our case, where he would be Matir, whichever one you chose. So that's Taka good Kasha. Okay.
So Tamar is in Tsaras Erva?
No, because either Manavshav, if the Mimer works, then they're both married to Shimon at the time the Levi's born. So he can choose either one. If Mimer doesn't work, then Dina was never married to Shimon to begin with. So it's not Tsar Sarava. Right? Because if the Mimer works, it's fully Shimon's. If the Mimer doesn't work, it's not Shimon's. So true, Dina is not Skuka to Levi, but that shouldn't make any difference vis-a-vis Tomer. Let Tomer be a Skuka no matter what. Okay? That's a good question. All right. I tried to make it all lumdish this afternoon. Totally unnecessary. Shlosha Achim. Next case. Next table. Shlosha Achim. Three brothers. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven and Shimon were married to two sisters. They kicked the bucket. Then Levi did Mimer to Leah. Okay? Ooh, sorry. Sequence wrong. Reuven died. Levi did Mimer to Leah. Then Shimon died, and now Rachel is Kuka. Of course, Rachel is Leah's sister. What do you do? Okay, that's the question. Okay, Reuven died first, Leah marries Levi. Yimaimer. And then Shimon dies and leaves the sister Rachel. So Shlosh Achim Shnaimim Nusim Shteachis V'Acha Echad Mufne. One is a bachelor. See, he saw his brothers, he remained a bachelor. Umeis Echad V'Achis, one of the sister's husbands died. And the guy who was free, he did Mimer in her, right? Now the second brother, Shimon, dies. Beshamrim Ishto Imo, Beshamrim says he gets to keep his wife. He did Mimer on Leah, that suffices to be considered his wife. Valoz, and the other one, Rochel, Tetze Mishum Achusisha, she goes out because she's his sister's wife and she's an Erba. Beshamrim Motis Ishto Beget, he's got to divorce his wife because she's not fully married to him. And he's got to get rid of his Yavama with Chalitza because she's not fully skukotim. V'zoi Sharm, in this case, they said, Oilo al Ishto, Oilo al Ishisachiv. Woe to him because he loses his wife, woe to him because he loses his brother's wife as well. Of course, maybe if he doesn't like them, it's not so woe to him. But assuming he does like them, this is kind of a tragedy. Okay. Beshamay Kreblos Ben Arach. Now, Beshamay says more absolute to Kreblos Ben Arach. Obviously, Beishamai holds that Leah is Ashes Levi, holds that Mimer is a Kenyan Gomer by Obama. Says Mar, no, that can't be. In Krabi Loz Ben Arach, if that's Gire, then if he divorces Leah, he should not have to do Chalitza on Rachel. Because even once you've divorced a woman, her sister is also due. Yet, Vam Rabbi Hila B'Shem Rabbi Lezer, or this is the name of Lezer, Moda Beishamin of Beishamin concedes, Shim Girish Labaz of Mimer, that by the time he did Mimer to Leah, they decide, I hate this woman's guts. I don't want to be Miyabimer, and he divorces her, right? And then Rachel Foyles falls in front of him. So he's not allowed he has to do Chalitza to Rachel. Rachel can't go free Lashuk. Why? If Mimer was a true marriage to Leah, and now Leah became Megureshes, was divorced by him, so Rachel is Eshes Grusha, is Achos Grusha, so it's his divorcee's sister, and a divorcee's sister is also to you as well, right? So why do you have to chalitz on her, right? So how come Rabbi Hila b'shem Rabbi Hila said, Maidi b'sham b'shem gir shabas of Mimer, that he divorces Leah? He's got to do chalitz on Rachel. How come? Ella Krebi Shimon. So maybe we'll say Beshamel to Krebi Shimon. Rebbe Shimon Amar HaMaimer Okone Elo Kone. As I told you a few minutes ago, Rebbe Shimon holds Maimer either works completely or doesn't work completely. And that's why Beshamai says what they say. So that can't work either. In Krebi Shimon Manashach. If Kana Rabbi Shimon, look, no matter where you look at it, Kana Maimer Venachrov Klum. If Maimer is Kana, then it's just like a marriage. And then even if a divorce is laid, again, Rav Shnai require Chalitza. Lo Kana Maimer, but if Maimer doesn't work, Lami Ishta Ishtoi Mo. Then how can Beit Shammai have the audacity to say, the halachic audacity to say, that he gets to keep Leah, Vavlo Estates Yishu Ma'achos Ishta, and Rachel gets sent away because of Achos Ishto? It's not, it can't be. In other words, Beit Shammai is saying with certainty that you do not have, okay, in this case, any need, with Levi still married to Leah in the state of Maimer, any need to do anything to Rachel. According to Shimon Al-Safik, you have to do Chalitza to Rachel, because if Maimer doesn't work, right, so he did nothing to Leah, so then Rachel still requires Chalitza. So it says the Gemara, Shema Maimer de Beishamai Kazikas Rabbi Shimon. Maybe the Maimer, according to Beishamai, is like Zika, according to Rabbi Shimon. I'll die to the Rabbanon Talmud according to the way the Rabbanon and Talmud explained it. Kimad Rabbanon, the Talmud Armin, well, this Rabbanon Talmud, this Talmud is extra, because Rabbanon Talmud made the following statement. What did Rabbanon Talmud say? They said, Kimad Rabbanon Armin ha Maimer Kohen Mishayer, just like Rabbanon say, Maimer is a quasi Kenyan, Kain Rabbi Shimon Oimer Kohen Mishayeris. So the Rabbi Shimon says that Zika is a quasi Kenyan. It's Koine partially and Mishayer partially, right? So now we can say that maybe Beit Shammai holds that Maimer is like Zika Koine Rabbi Shimon. Now, I don't know why we have to say that. We could have just said that Beit Shammai holds that Maimer is a quasi-kinyan in and of itself, right? I don't know exactly what the Gemara is trying to say by this. But in any event, the idea is that if Maimer is a quasi-kinyan, so then that means it's not a Durabonic Kinyan, it's a quasi-kinyan Duraisa. And the ramifications are, of course, as follows. That if Levi did Maimer to Leah, and he's still married to Leah, still in state of Maimer, then Rachel goes scot-free. Because there's a Kinyan on Leah which overrides the Kinyan on Rachel. But if Leah gets divorced from Levi, so then, albeit, Achos Grushoso is normally Usher, but that's Achos of a full-blown Grusha, right? But this is Achos of a Maimer Grusha, right? And Maimer is only a Miksas Kinyan. So therefore, Rachel has got to get separately a Chalitza. So that means it's actually, according to Beit Shammai, a concept of, even according to Yerushalmi in general, this concept of a Chati marriage. It's not a full marriage. And there are ramifications of that. And these are all Doraisas here. We're not talking about the Rabbanan. But they're all Doraisas. Maimer is a quasi-marriage. If you're still married to Leah, Rachel goes scot-free. If you're no longer married to Leah because of Gerushin, then Rachel requires Chalitza. It's an amazing concept. But the Gemara continues with that concept.
She can have a quasi-mamzer also.
Yes, everything is quasi, right? You're going to have a whole universe of quasi. The Twilight Zone, okay? So it says more of the Twi-Yibum Zone. It says more further, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon ain't Zikin Ophel Samakum Zika. Rabbi Shimon says, well, since Rabbi Shimon holds Zika's a quasi Kinyan, I see now why the Rushami brought it the way it did, because Rushami wanted to develop this thought. Just like Rushami is just developing what I said outside, inside. I stopped short. Shimon ain't Zikin Ophel Samakum Zika. We said it right before. Once you have one Zika, another Zika can't fall on top of it. That's why Achios Soros. He holds that the second Achius Yibamus holds that the second sister goes scot-free. Came Hashem Reim Hachol and Zika no fell to Malkum Maimer. Rachel Zika can't fall where Leah's Maimer is still in effect, right? Now, if that's the case, Rabbi Yudin asks the following question. Rabbi Yudin asks, boy, Kiddush Isha Me'achshav L'Achar Shloshim Yoyim. You're Mekadesh a woman from now until after 30 days. What's the case there? I shouldn't finish the case. It's a really cool case, unfortunate case, but you're nuts. You're insane. Should be put into insane asylum. What you did is you went to your Mekadesh and you said, well, I've seen insane condition wouldn't work. But you went and you said to the woman, you're Mekadesh for me from now until after 30 days. In other words, not the condition will not complete itself until 30 days are up. It's okay, it's Bavli brings down in Kiddushin as well. But this part is not in the Bavli. Now, in the middle of those 30 days, her sister becomes your Yavama. It was this girl's sister's married to your brother, and your brother dies in those 30 days. Now, what happens to the Zika? This Zika is not confronted with a mimer like Beis Shammai, but it's confronted with a Chatzi Kiddushin. Is that the equivalent, according to Beis Shammai, of mimer versus Zika, or not? Okay, L'chora, it should be similar. That's the premise of Mora's question. Is this like when Zika confronts mimer, the Zika cannot take effect? So too, I should argue, when Zika confronts Chatzi Kiddushin, a Kiddushin which is still building up to its crescendo, so also the same thing applies, right?
This is like a Kiddushin on Tanayim?
No, it's not a Kiddushin on Tanayim. It's a progressively strong Kiddushin. It's all 30 days getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
And this is a legal...
Yeah, it works. I told you, it's insane, but it works, yeah. So, Afilu Kain, so Ishto Imo, the way they say, even in this case, his wife gets to keep his wife, the one who's quasi-wife, Tapachov on base, and the other one goes out because of his wife's sister. So, Arme, they said, no. Beis Shammai never went that far. L'Arme Beis Shammai el'ayde zikov ayde maimer. Beis Shammai said, well, you have maimer, which is full kiddushin. Full quasi kiddushin. This is an amazing lomdisha concept. We have full quasi kiddushin that pushes off Zika. But this is half kiddushin. Do you see the difference? Mimer is full quasi kiddushin. But it's a full kiddushin on the level to which it exists. When you're Mekadesh one beginning now and completing after 30 days, that is only a half of a kiddushin. It's like a chatzi dover, not a full dover. So that's why in that case it's possible, even Beis Shammai will agree, that the Zika does devolve on the individual. It's an amazing concept.
Does the Zika maybe evolve as the 30 days are coming closer to its end?
Zika's a one-shot deal. Either Zika happens when the brother hits the dust, bites the dust or not, right? But there is a tremendous lumdus one could say here about the difference between Maimon and Kedushin. The Rebaz does actually say a little bit of that lumdus, right? But in any event... it's only in that case and not in this case. Okay, now what about this case of Rabbi Avo? The Rabbi Avo said in Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Kiddushin Mea Toif Simbo. It says that if you have this guy who says you're Mekudesh for me after 30 days, and another guy comes and says you're Mekudesh to me from now until 29 days. And with the other one says the next thing, you're Mekudesh to me from now until 28 days. So it says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Afilu Kiddushin Mea Toif Simbo, which requires a get from every one of them. They all are chal, every single one of them. So it says, Marv, Elok Beis Shammai, that's not like Beis Shammai. Why it's not like Beis Shammai? Because Beis Shammai specifically made a statement that Zika is chal, and Zika is pushed off by Mimer, right? Zika is pushed off by Mimer, and he didn't make a statement about Kiddushin at all, right? So we don't know whether that same workout, by that statement of Kiddushin, will work out according to Beis Shammai, or won't make a workout. The way the Gilead Ephraim puts it, in a matter of fact, he says, the Ribaz learns it totally differently. The Ribaz says that Beis Shammai does agree with this. It's like Bitmia. You think Beis Shammai would agree with this? Beis Shammai would agree with this. Which makes sense, to a certain extent. But the way Gilead Ephraim explains it, I like it more. Gilead Ephraim says, Beis Shammai only holds. Beis Shammai says when two things are of the same name, it's not relevant to talk about leaving room. Meaning that if one guy made Kiddushin and another guy tries to make Kiddushin, they just clash and the second one bounces off. The only time Beis Shammai says that it's possible for Zika to take place is if Zika take place after Mimer is if they're not exactly the same thing. In other words, you have Mimer on the one hand and Zika on the other hand. So some and the Mimer, of course, is talking about a case where there was a divorce already. So in that case, we can say somehow that the Zika finds a place. But the Kiddushin on Kiddushin, there, Beis Shammai won't necessarily say that the second Kiddushin finds a place to take effect. As I'm talking it out now, though, I realize the Ritbaz makes a lot of more sense. Ribaz is the one who kind of says, why should this not work out according to Beis Shammai? Right? The Kiddushim Mea Taifsim Ba, this could work out because Beis Shammai said that Zika and Mimer can work. Beis Shammai would say that where the Mimer, since Mimer is, Mimer can push off Zika, Mimer can push off Zika. As long as the Kiddush, the Zika. Yes, that's true. But that's because Mimer, when it's made, is fully made. And that's how it pushes off Zika. But Kiddushin, which is partially made, maybe doesn't push off another Kiddushin. So why shouldn't Beis Shammai hold of this? Do you see what I'm trying to say? In other words, Beis Shammai holds, the Gemara just said the line before, I'm explaining the Ribaz, and now I like it very much. So again, Beis Shammai says Mimer pushes off Zika when the Mimer's in the frame. But the Gemara said quite clearly, Kiddush, partial Kiddushin doesn't push off Zika, right? In other words, if you have a partial Kiddushin and then it becomes Kuka, then it says, no, in that case, the Zika does take effect, right? Because it's only Mimer which pushes off Zika, but not partial Kiddushin. So the same thing is true according to Beis Shammai. Wouldn't Beis Shammai say the same thing, that if you have partial Kiddushin and another guy comes and makes Kiddushin, there too the second Kiddushin can also take effect? Am I explaining? One more time. Beis Shammai said, we know the Beis Shammai holds that Mimer, which is in effect, pushes up Zika. Then the Gemara asks, well, what about Kiddushin, which is partially in effect, can that push up Zika? And the Gemara says, no! Beis Shammai agrees that Kiddushin, which is partially in effect, cannot push up Zika, right? There the Zika takes effect and the guy is up the creek, right? Now the Gemara says the Vahida Amrabi Avo. Now the case of Avo where you have a Kiddushin and then somebody else tries to make Kiddushin. And all of you try to make Kiddushin. So according to the Ribaz, Beis Shammai. You think that doesn't work out according to Beis Shammai? That too works out according to Beis Shammai. Because there it's the Kiddushin only took partial effect. So therefore, just like Zikin could come and take effect after partial Kiddushin, so to another Kiddushin could take effect after partial Kiddushin. Again, the only thing which pushes off Zika is full-blown Mimer. Now, it's true, Mimer is not a full Kiddushin, but to the extent that he did it, it's complete, and that pushes off Zika. But Kiddushin, which is partial, a half Kiddushin, like Mikan Lapis Lachimio, that can't push off Zika, right? So that kind of push off Zika, it also makes sense according to Beis Shammai to say that a partial Kiddushin can push off another partial Kiddushin, right? Because it's even a common comment, I think, now that I'm talking out. Look, a partial Kiddushin should be stronger than a Zika. If a partial Kiddushin can't push off a Zika, a partial Kiddushin shouldn't be able to push off another partial Kiddushin either. So the way the Gilin of Frank learned it, no, it does according to Beis Shammai. Because since they're both in the same Koyach, so they deflect each other. But the Ribaz makes a lot of sense. The Ribaz says, when he's learning the Gemara, when it says, Loka Beis Shammai, what do you think? It's not going like Beis Shammai? It is going like Beis Shammai. That's because since the only thing which deflects, according to Beis Shammai, is when what you did completely. And the only thing which is relevant to that is a full Mimer. Okay? So be that as it may, we have two possible alternatives here. We know, anyway, Beis Shammai's Mimer deflects Zika when it's effect. We know that partial Kiddushin does not affect Zika. Right? So then, the question whether the last thing was read as a statement or as a, you know, a statement, Veloka Beis Shammai, or it's read as a Bitmias in Stanchabor, you think this is not like Beis Shammai? And that would mean this last case where you have a partial Kiddushin attacking a pre existing partial Kiddushin, either that could go like Beis Shammai, which is what the Ribaz is saying, because there, in effect, it's only a full Mimer which pushes off something, or it's not like Beis Shammai the way the Gilin Ephraim learns it, because Beis Shammai will say that since they are similar things, right, so therefore one cannot devolve on top of the other. Okay, next mission. Shlosha Achim, 1, 2, 3, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Shtaimem, Nesuim, Shtei Achios. Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters, Vechon Nasi Nachris, and Levi is married to a Chana, who's not a sister, right? So then, what happened was Reuven died, right? Reuven died, and of course Shimon couldn't do Yibum on Reuven's wife because Reuven's wife was his wife's sister. So Levi does the Yibum, right? So now, and then of course Levi dies. So what do we say in this case? So both Leah, his wife's sister, and Chanah, who his was is the co-wife, are both forbidden to him, right? So Shlosha Ashtaimen, the Sushta Akhus Fakhanosu Nochris, one is married to a foreign woman, May Sakhun Bali Akhus, if one of the husbands or the sisters dies, Yikonis Nosi Nochris, the one is married to a strange woman, marries as Ishto, his wife, Umeis, if then he dies, then Shnia Yeti Mishum Akhus Isha, the second one goes out because Leah goes out because she is Rachel's sister, Bishon and Chana, the original wife, goes out Mishum Tzorosa, because she is a co-wife. Also, but Maimer Umeis, what if Levi only did Maimer Leah and didn't fully marry her? In that case, Nachris Choletzis Lomisei. So of course, Leah goes scot-free because it's Achos Ishto. Chana requires Chalitza, not Yibum. Okay? Bein Rabbanim Bein Rav Shimon Modim Bo. So it says, this is really not a trick Mishnah. It's a straightforward Mishnah. Bein Rabbanim Bein Rav Shimon Modim Bo. It's true both according to Rabbanim and Rav Shimon. Rabbanim hold Maimer is a quasi-kinyan, right? So since the quasi kinyan, the tzad to which Leah was acquired by Levi, that doesn't require anything, right? But the tzad, the other parts, it's only a quasi kinyan, which wasn't acquired by Levi, that requires Chana to get a chalitza. Again, since Leah is only partially acquired to Levi, so therefore Chana requires a chalitza. What's the problem?
Unusual terminology. It's almost like they're like a
chassiyah
and
chassiyah
ben.
Yeah, it's
chassiyah.
It's like that. Yeah. It's not usual.
That's not how I understood
Mimer.
Mimer's not. Mimer
doesn't
isn't like some partial
kinyan
goes just so far in the woman, but doesn't go any further.
But that's how the Yerushalmi is depicting it here, right? The part which Mimer works is Chana, right? So, to extend the Mimer doesn't work, Kenegdo Mutter B'Tzara. To that extent, Chana is Mutter to Shimon. So therefore, Lefichol Chaletzel Mr. Ben Tzatzor does Chalitza and not Yibum. Rabbi Shimon, now according to Rabbi Shimon, Kona Mimer, the Mimer works, and therefore Shtei Masuros. If Mimer works, can both also, and they don't require anything. Lo Kona Mimer, if Mimer doesn't work, Harishona also, then Leah, of course, is Asura, because she's Achos Ishto, but Hashnia Muteres. Chana would be Mutzer if Mimer doesn't work. So therefore, Misafek, Choletis, Lo Misafemes, therefore, because Safek, since you don't know whether Mimer works, then you have to Chalitza and not Yibum. Next case, Shlosh Achim, Shnaimem, Nesuim, Shtei Achim. Same case, three, Vecho Nosi Nochtori. Same case, originally. Umeis Nosi Nochris. But here, the guy who dies is one who's married to a Nochris, to a strange one, right? So Levi was married to Chana, he dies, right? In the meantime, so where Chana goes, the Kanes Achim Ba'achus marries one of the husband's sisters, not to remain which one, but in this picture he marries Shimon, she marries Shimon, right? Umeis, and then Shimon dies. Rishoyna Yeretz Mishum Achus Ishto. So here too, it's the same thing. Rachel goes out because she's Leah's sister, right? V'ashniyah Mishum Tzorosa. And the second one kind of goes out because she's a Tzorah, right? She became a Tzorah through the evil. Also, but Mimer Umeis, if all Shimon did in Chana, however, was Mimer, and then he died, so then, Nochris Chana, since she's not, perhaps married to Shimon, perhaps not, she has to do Chalitza, Velomis HaBemis. Chalitza, in case she was married to Shimon, and therefore she's, Chalitza, in case she wasn't married to Shimon, and therefore was never Tzora Serva, because perhaps she was married to Shimon, in which case, of course, she's not allowed to marry Reuven because she was Tzora Serva. So if she was Chalitza, not Yibum, and again the Gemara says, Bein Rabbanan, Bein Rabbi Shimon, Moed about both Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon could concede this case. Next case.
What's the difference between this mission and the one we just had?
Well, it's the similar case, except that here one of the sisters' husbands died. And here, one of the sister's husbands died, and here, the strange woman's husbands died. It ends up being the same. It ends up being the same, but for who died changes. Okay, Halacha Zayin, Shlosh Achim, three brothers. Same pattern. Two married, two sisters. One married to a strange woman. So if one of the husbands of the sisters died, the Kanas Nosi Nachris is Nishto, and then the one married to a strange woman, to a third party, takes his wife. Umesa Ishto Shoshen. Okay, now here the women start dying. So here we have Reuven's married to Leah, and Shimon, his brother, was married to Rachel, right? And Levi was married to some strange woman, right? So now Reuven died. Leah went and married Levi. She couldn't marry Shimon because she was married to his sister, right? Now, what happened was here is first Rachel dies and then Levi dies. Okay? Rachel dies, predeceases Levi. So by the time Shimon comes to be Miabim, Levi's wife, his wife has died. Okay? So in that case, she is forbidden forever to Leah, since she was forbidden at one time. This is very ironic, as Mar will point out. Were there not to be an evil situation here, then he can marry Leah. Because you can marry your brother's, your wife's sister after your wife dies. But since at some point in history, Leah had been zakuka to Shimon, and Shimon could not have married her at that time, which is why she got passed over to Levi, so she remains also to him forever. Since at one time there was an issue because of Yibum, right?
We've had this principle already.
Yeah, and the Mara says, I'm Ravina. That's Rabbi Yosef, name Rabbi Yochanan we had earlier. There's no comparison between the Isser of women, sisters who are Yivamos, to sisters who are not Yivamos. Because had they not been Yivamos, then Rachel would have been, then Leah would have been Muteris. But since Leah had once been Yivama, so that's why it remains also even later on. Which is right, that principle we had already. Shlosh Achim, three brothers. Now this is the next case. Three brothers, two of them married to two sisters. Again, the same case. Now Girish, this is interesting. Oh, they're all interesting. Before Reuven died, right? Well, actually, before Reuven died, he divorced the sister. Okay, he divorced the sister. Okay, now. Let me try again. Right. He divorced Leah. Then he was married. Then Levi died, who was married to this to third party woman, and Reuven did Yibum to Chana, right? So in that case, of course, Umeis Okinsa Garish. Then Reuven took her. Umeis, and then he died. Zuish Amos. So in this case, of course, as they said, the Kuli Meisul Shemino is Nizgarshu Nitzayel. And this, in all these cases, if the woman who was the erba was died, divorced, or died, or was found to be an Ionis, so say Mutaros, then Chanos will have to be Miabim Shemin. Because at the time of Reuven's death, so he was no longer married to Leah, right? The erba. So therefore, Chana, the co-wife, who's now the actually only wife, can marry Shemin. Now says the Mark Giresh, Rabbi Chagai, Bishem Rabbi Zira said, Lo sof dover b'shegirish chaka konas, you should know, and this is a much bigger chiddush than the Mishnah. It's not just if Leah was divorced before Reuven took Chana, but even if Reuven took Chana and was still married to Leah at that time, and then divorced Leah sometime before he died, since at the time that Reuven died, he is no longer married to Leah, despite the fact that they were married to Reuven both at the same time at some point in history, since at the time of death, Reuven has already divorced Leah, so therefore Shimon can be Miabim Chana. Okay? Elafilu could not wait just be divorced Leah and then married to was Miabim Chana. Elafilu konas v'charka kirish. Even at first he took Chana, and then he divorced Leah afterwards. Hadoi the din on this, that which you learn, she mason is garshu, if they died or divorced at the time of Reuven's death, so say mutar sechanas mutaris mimisabit to Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda said, Av Rabbi Lezer Moida. Even Rabbi Lezer says, we had him several times already, that Batal Agoyre Mo Isra Mekoy Mohomed, that where the cause of the Isra has gone away, the Isra remains, he's also Moida here. Because here, you can't start talking about Asur Mutzer to the Yavam until Reuven dies. So therefore, whatever went before that was water under the bridge. So as long as at the point that Reuven dies, Ruchanos Mutzer Shimon, that remains true. Right? Rabbi Yosef said, Vios, makes sense. I'll give you proof for this, circumstantial evidence. Let's say Reuven had a gazillion kids, right? But they died by the time Reuven died. They predeceased them, right? So then, they die, and then he dies. His wife says, it seems like he wants to have kids. We see that whatever happened before the death is water under the bridge, right? So therefore here too, whatever happened before that, as long as at the time that Reuven died, Leah was arrayed to force, so therefore Chanak be his kukah the shimon. So that's more no comparison. No. Tam and Bushlo Bani Bishas Misa. Here, although the halacha might be right, the comparison is not true. There, where he had kids and the kids died, Sir Mechayev and Yibun, because Yibun goes after Shas Misa, right? Vahacha. Oh no, it's a comparison, I'm sorry. They wanted to explain the comparison, sorry. What's the comparison? Tam Avushil Bani Mishas Misa, what determines whether he is Chayiv and Yibun or not is whether he had kids at the time, whether his wife is Chayiv and Yibun or not, is whether he had kids at the time of the death. V'acha, here too, Vushitei Tzara, the car may have changed it to Mishas Misa. Again, here too, we determine it after Shas Misa. And Mishas Misa, there's no Tzara, so therefore, therefore there's not a problem. Okay, I think we have to stop here. It's already 10:15. Everybody should daven this Rosh Hashanah, that we should have a good year of learning Yerushalmi, that we should be able to muddle through Yevamos a little bit quicker than we've been doing till now. I think it gets a little bit easier as we go further on. And we should all be zoicha to finish Yevamos and other stuff.